When I call your name, please reply present. Principal, Mr. Harvey.
Present.
Ms. Whitaker, parent.
Present.
Ms. Vaughn.
Present.
And we now have Ms. Wells.
Present.
Myself, Heather Brown, instructional staff. Ms. Skates.
Present.
Ms. Thacker.
Absent. Right.
Ms. Taylor.
Present.
Oh, good. And Ms. We have Ms. Howe listed as our community member. Is that correct, Ms. Howe?
No.
I thought that was a mistake.
Well, oh, no, that's a mistake. No, Ms. Howe was in our meeting last time.
All right, that's what I thought. She just came to visit last time. And then our swing seat position is still vacant.
Correct. And so that's a part of one of our agenda items.
All right.
Okay. All right. So
just one thing really quickly. According to our records, you have two vacant seats. You have a community member seat and you said your swing seat is vacant. So Mr. Davis is no longer on your team?
Yes, he's not able to serve any longer. So we agreed at the last meeting to find a replacement for him.
Okay.
And then after we reached out to that other community member, I think we just communicated so forth with the Go Team office last week. That has opened as well, but we have not established, we haven't found anyone to vote on yet.
That's fine. I'm just, it's always a moving piece, and I just want to make sure that our records are correct. So this is the easiest way to confirm that. So thank you so much.
Yes. Okay. Do we have a quorum, Ms. Brown?
Yes.
All right. So now we'll go to the approval of our agenda. And if you look at the agenda items, we have time to fill a vacant position, which we'll be looking at the swing seat position. I have a nomination to bring forth. We do not have the community member yet, a person identified, but we are working on that. So we'll work on that. And that'll be a part of our next meeting. Hopefully we'll have someone in place for that. The approval of the previous minutes, which is what we're in, we'll do after our filling of the vacant positions. And then our discussion items will be updates for partnerships, school branding, discussion and next steps for our universal screener data, and our strategic plan in preparation for our budget discussion, along with principal's report, the information items of principal's report, return to learn plan, updated COVID-19 guidelines, virtual readiness plan, and then any announcements that we have. This is also, we do have, this is a meeting where we have an open speaking at this meeting. I can't think of what it's called at this point. But this is a meeting where we allow that, and we did not have anyone to sign up for that. So we'll do any announcements and adjournment. So at this time, can I have someone move for approval of the agenda as written?
I have a Brown approve that we, move that we approve the agenda.
I second the motion.
All right, the agenda is approved. At this time, our first order of business is to fill a vacant swing seat that we have open at this time. The nomination was given to me of Ms. Jessica Pope, who is is a staff member who is very interested in moving beyond the classroom in terms of leadership. And so has shown as volunteers in different areas so that she could kind of learn the ins and outs and mechanisms of how decisions are made and so forth. So the nomination was brought to me by another Go Team member, Ms. Brown. And I thought it was an excellent idea that we nominate Ms. Ms. Pope, Jessica Pope, for our swing seat position. So at this time, are there any other nominations for that swing seat position?
What does that seat actually do?
So that it is just a member of the team, just as the rest of us. So it's the same role as you play. It's a voting member of the GO team.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So at this time, I move that we nominate Ms. Jessica Pope for the swing seat position. Could I have, I need someone to move to nominate or to accept that nomination.
I accept that nomination. I move to that nomination.
Okay. Do we have someone to second that?
I second.
Okay. All in favor of Ms. Jessica Pope serving the swing seat, please say yay.
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 Okay, and we need to, Ms. Brown, could you record those who say, who are voting for? And I think I'm going to go through Ms. Taylor. Ms. Vaughn, you are yay. Okay, great. Yeah. Ms. Gates.
Yay.
Okay, Ms. Johnson. I'm sorry, Ms. Wells.
I don't even know what I'm speaking.
Great.
Okay. Ms. Whitaker.
Yay.
Okay. So all not in favor. Do we have any nays? Okay, the motion carries. So we will let Ms. Pope know that she's been elected for the swing seat position. Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask Ms.
Ms. Harvey, I have a quick question. Is that to fill the term until the end of the year, or is it longer than
the end of the year? But the swing seat is a nomination that I bring forth on a yearly basis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's not elected as like the parent or the staff member positions.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
At this time, could you read the minutes for us so that we can, the previous minutes, Ms. Brown?
Yes. The meeting was called to order on Monday, December 6th at 3:30 via Zoom. We had a roll call. All were present except for Ms. Vaughn. The approval of the agenda passed. We appointed Ms. Wells to fill the open community member seat. Let me see. We discussed the school branding, the atrium makeover, and increasing partnerships, also sharing universal screener data, and shared the ACES review. We did the Return Plus Learn plan, principal's report, and talked about CARES Act funding updates.
Okay, there's one change I would, and did I hear you say that Ms. Wells was the community seat?
No, I'm sorry. It's on two different pages. She's the parent seat.
Yes, she had to fill a parent.
Parent seat.
Yes, okay. That's the only change, if that needs to be made, that I would see.
Okay.
Does anybody else hear, did anybody else hear any changes that need to be made to the previous minutes? Okay. I move, I'm asking someone to move that we accept the minutes as written.
I move we accept the minutes that were read.
Okay.
I second the motion.
All right. And we'll accept those minutes as written. All right. So I'm going to go through a couple of these items a little quicker than others because the big item I really want us to look at is our strategic plan in preparation for our budget discussion. As you know, Wednesday, I will be attending our the budget meeting for FY23. And so I will get information dealing with our budget for next school year. And that begins the tedious process that we as a team have to go through in creating our budget for the 2022-23 school year. So I'm going to spend a little more time on that than the other items. Just to give you updates for the items that we discussed in the last, which was school branding. I did have a couple of questions. We talked about Twitter. I think starting to do Twitter blasts. That was one item we discussed in branding our school. Who could bring up, and I can't remember all of them, but that was the one that was jumped out because that was very quick for us to start really focusing on. So what I've done in that area, I've spoken to Ms. Dr. Barber, our school media specialist, in terms of her making sure once or twice a week she moves around the school to capture something great that's happening and tweet it out for the school department or for from the school Twitter account. We also talked about, I think, having a contest for teachers and staff. Is that accurate, Ms. Brown?
Yes.
And so, and over the next few weeks, I did not do that in December because we were about to come out, but that is something that we'll start to really put out there for our staff to start to tweet wonderful things, great things that are happening at Heritage on a daily and weekly basis. And so that was kind of phase one of our branding for our school. We also talked about the atrium makeover. And so what did that entail, Ms. Brown,
creating a competition for students to have a t-shirt or logo that represents Heritage and having a theme for every month in the atrium. So we would choose a theme and then kind of have different groups decorate the atrium to go along with that theme.
Can we get about two or three members of the team to come up with those themes and kind of set up who would be those to decorate or what teams around the school we would get to help us with the atrium, but kind of bring those themes up. So do we have anyone that could volunteer to kind of come together outside of the Go Team meeting to get those themes together? Have any volunteers?
I don't mind.
Volunteer.
I'm sorry, can you say your names? I'm flipping back between screens.
Miss Vaughn.
Okay.
And this is Miss Taylor.
Okay. Thank you.
Miss Whitaker.
All right. I have Vaughn, Taylor, and Whitaker. Thank you.
And with that, remember, you're not necessarily going to be decorating or doing all of the decorating for the atrium. You will just be putting together themes and so forth so that we can carry that part out. Increase in partnerships. And as we talked about last month, Gas South has been very good to us. We have CO Services who have done a lot for us this year as well. And You First has done, in fact, they delivered a lot of PPE for students, our masks for students, over 1,000 masks they donated last week. So we do have partners that are doing some great things for us. I think we were looking more so now at partnerships that could support our STEM initiative. And so Where can we start with that? And that's the discussion. If we could have a 2 to 3 minute discussion on where the team thinks we need to start with establishing partnerships with entities that could support our initiative.
Hello, it's Tierra. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Have you all looked into colleges or like the universities and seeing if there's some STEM programs or like engineering programs and things like that in the locally? I mean, there's so many universities, so maybe that could be a place that we can look into to see about some of the students coming and volunteering and doing some of the STEM activities.
And what we would really like is a robotics club. I would really love a extracurricular kind of club like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a place to start.
I know. And when we used to live in Macon, so Mercer, they offer things like that. And my Jay's brother, he was in a robotics club at his school. And I think most of the people, of course, some of the teachers did it, but they had a robotics club that competed. So...
I also have a partner with the after-school program called Girls Inc., and they are STEAM-based, so each semester the curriculum changes, and they are also a nonprofit, so a lot of the services are 100% free, and they can come during the school day. I did speak with them. They are allowed to come during the school day, so that is something that they would just work out with the principal, and the schedule would be set, and they would be consistently in the school with whatever time you have set.
Okay. And that's Girls Inc.?
Yes, Girls Inc. They're similar to Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
So they're
and they do work with boys and girls.
They do work with boys and girls. It depends on which segment you get them at.
Okay. And I was just asking that because I didn't know if they were geared towards, you know, getting girls into science or something like that with the name Girls Inc. So that's why I was asking if they geared towards boys and girls or if they just kind of geared towards girls. So that's good to know. So you've already spoken with them, Ms. Taylor?
Yes. So I currently have them since last August with the after school program. But a lot of the programs we can't get because they would have to go past an hour. And they don't go past an hour during after school. So robotics and things like that, I couldn't get within the program. But you would be able to have more options during the school day versus after school.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. That's good to know. Okay, are there any other ideas out there for partnerships?
Well, I think we've touched bases on that subject as far as other local nonprofits in the community that we could solicit partnerships with.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Vaughn. Okay. So we will, we can move on. Next, we talked about our universal screen of data. As everyone knows, in December, we took the MAP assessment. And I'm going to, what does everybody see MAP growth achievement level?
Yes. Okay.
All right. So as you know, first of all, as you know, with the distance learning that occurred over the last couple of years, we came in pretty much with the idea that we would have a lot of students that were not proficient on grade level material. So what you see here is our students or our, and I'm going to put winter, fall, and growth. What you see here are our results, and I'm going to tell you what we're doing. Hold on. I just want to do our school. And I'm trying to do winter and fall as a comparison. Will they do the comparison? Okay, here we go. So as you can see, the red would be those students who are below level, and this is reading and math combined, in terms of proficiency. And as you can see, at the top, you see what happened in the fall, where we were in the fall. At the bottom, you see the winter. And so this is universal screener data where you look at the growth of students. And so this is proficiency. This is not how our students grew. This is proficiency. So of course, it's in the fall, 61% of our students were not proficient in their grade level, or they were at the beginning or the lowest level of proficiency. In the winter, that came down to 57%, which means that is a gain. Of course, we want less than that. Of course, we're trying to get it to where you have around 25-30% of students in that area at the most. As you can see, the yellow is students who were, they were moving, or they were not quite, they were developing. And so that area went up from 29 to 32%. Green is proficient. And so we went from 10 to 11%. But what we've been really looking at closely is our growth. And that, and the growth that we're looking at is where students were and how much they grew since August or since the fall. So even though a student grows a lot, they still may not be proficient because they are so far behind. And so when we look at our growth achievement, I'm sorry. And it's a little slow. I'm sorry, I'm gonna look at our growth target percentage. If you look at our, so in the fall, when the students first took their, when the students first took their MAP assessment, they were, when they first took their MAP assessment, they were given a growth target. So MAP was saying, hey, if you scored here, if you scored a 10 in the fall, then the expectation is that you score a 12 or 13 in the winter. I'm just using as an example, okay? So every student had a growth target based on what they did individually on the MAP in the fall. So if you look here, 49% or almost half of our students either met or exceeded the growth target that was set for them, okay? Still at 51% did not meet it. That doesn't mean they didn't grow. It just means they didn't meet the growth target. So your growth target could have been 8 points. If you grew 7 points, you didn't meet your growth target, but you came close. If you look here, you see the grade levels. And this is the percentage on each grade level that met their growth target or above, or exceeded their growth target. So you can see on most grade levels, we hover around 40 to 50% of students meeting or exceeding their growth target. We did have one grade level where 74% of students, or just about a majority of students, met or exceeded their growth target. So this is where we want to be school-wide, in this area where a majority of students are meeting their growth target. So I'm sharing this data with you because as we build our, look at our strategic plan, and we go into budget season and building our budget for next year, we want to make sure that we are basing our budget on what our needs may be as a school based on data, okay? Does that make sense to everyone? All right, so with that being said, are there any questions, first of all, about growth versus proficiency? Okay, great. All right, so I'm next going to pull up our previous, and let me make that bigger, hold on. Is that better? Do I need to make it bigger?
No, that's fine for me.
Okay, great. All right, this is our strategic plan from last year. And what a strategic plan is a 3 to 5 year plan that you implement for 3 to 5 years and hoping that you reach the goals or the key performance measures to the right. You cannot, in a strategic plan, you cannot accomplish everything or implement everything in one given school year. So just because there are things that you have here and have not yet implemented does not mean that, you know, you haven't been successful with your strategic plan. The strategic plan is a working document, and it's something that you look at periodically to see where you are in implementing those things. So what we have here are our school priorities, which our priorities right now are to increase the percentage of students proficient or above in ELA and math, build early literacy skills to help students become better readers and writers, and implement STEM-enriched curriculum to drive innovative and project-based learning. So those are our three school priorities currently. So I'm going to bring up another document as we plan. Hold on, where did I find it? So this document helps us to work on our next strategic plan, or to help us to update the strategic plan that we have. So for right now, three things I want you to look at as we talk about what we have in our strategic plan. Are we making progress towards goals identified in the strategic plan? Did we do what we said we were going to do in the strategic plan? And if you did not have the impact or expected impact with fidelity, why and what should we do? What should we be aware of in this planning process? So with that being said, I'm going to go back to our strategic plan with those in mind. These are the strategies that we said we were going to use this year. And I know our, let me make that a little bigger. Oh, I'm still at 100. Okay. There we go. That's real big there. These are our school strategies that we said we were going to utilize this year in order to meet these priorities. And this is just one area, which is academic programming. The four areas that we look at are academic programming, talent management, that's teacher recruitment, retention, and training, systems and resources, that's our budget allocations, and then our culture, okay? Parent involvement, social emotional learning, student enrichment, and community outreach. So our strategies for academic programming, I will give you the opportunity to just look at those and just open a discussion on where we are. Remember, this is a 5-year plan, or 3 to 5 year plan that is worked on and tweaked every year, and see, are the things we need to take out, put in? So I will open everything up for discussion with that. Anyone have any comments?
I think we can do better on engaging students in STEM-focused extracurricular activities.
Okay.
I know the last year or two has been tough because of COVID, but in general, we could do a little bit better in that area.
Okay. So remember, it's the strategic plan. Everything doesn't have to be strategy, have to be put in every year. So my question is that something we need to keep in here?
I think we do need to keep
it. Okay. So we keep it in. And so what we can say is some of these areas we've already started implementing, right? Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Now, some of it we got to improve on our implementation of, but we put it in place. So if we leave it there, that could be a focus for us going into next year and looking at how we allocate, thinking of that being a part of our focus of the extracurricular activities, STEM-focused extracurricular activities. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So great pointing that out, Ms. Brown. Anything else on those school strategies? Okay. Let's go to talent management. And this goes on teacher recruitment, retention, training, mentoring, recognition. So you can see the things that were put in place. Now we normally do have, we have Relay residents presently, and we do have some of our parents who are interested in going through that going into next year. The other part of that is we usually accept staff, are not student teachers, but people who are doing their practicums from the colleges and so forth. But we haven't been able to do that in 2 years for obvious reasons. So that's something we've had that we haven't really been able to do it because for obvious reasons. Any comments on this area? Anything we need to change, add in terms of teacher recruitment or talent management? Okay.
I think we could do better in the area of teacher recognition.
Okay.
Don't know what exactly, but I think we could do better.
Okay, teacher recognition. Can you put that in our minutes?
Yes.
That under talent management, teacher recognition is an area. And so what we would need is a strategy for that.
I'm not sure if I missed this, but I was going to ask, what is it that you do for retention? I know you're, I can see that retention was supposed to be like coming from somebody from a local college and that stuff too, helping with recruitment and trying to retain them if they live in the area. But I mean, since I work in healthcare, you know, we always offer some kind of bonus and things like that to keep providers around. So I was just trying to see what is it that you all do at your level for trying to retain.
So the district
will help too.
This year, the district did put some things in. So for example, Heritage, because of our students are free, the number of free and reduced lunch, Heritage gave all staff members that work here a bonus. I'm sorry, not Heritage, but the district gave a bonus for working at Heritage. So teachers did get a bonus there. For us, it's more so providing support for teachers so they don't get burned out. So that would go to the professional learning, offering professional learning opportunities, mentoring. Although we could do better this year with the mentoring, we did in previous years, but we're working on that part of it. But offering support is really the retention part on our level, making sure that that teachers, especially teachers new to the profession or new to the school, have all the support that they need to be successful.
Do you all teach or have any trainings on emotional intelligence to help prevent or to decrease the chances of burnout and learning their emotional quotient and things like that?
We haven't had that specifically. So no, that's a good strategy to put out there. And that could fall under the implement PLCs. So PLCs are professional learning communities. Our teachers come together to learn professionally. So that would be that topic could fall under PLCs for us. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, let's take a look, and I don't want to hold us too long. Let's take systems and resources. So this is all about our general budget allocations and application for grants, audit resources, school business partner recruitment, which we're talking about now. So here are our strategies, which I think the grants Now, we have several teachers this year that have won Donors Choose projects have been funded by Donors Choose. So we have several. But when we talk about grants, you know, do we need to train several staff members, allocate money to train staff, several staff members on grant writing so that maybe we can get one of the, you know, the huge $120,000, $200,000 grants for initiatives that we have here. And that is a skill that people take classes for. So if that's the case, if that's something we want to identify, we would allocate monies in our budget for that purpose, to train staff for that. Okay. Hold on 1 second. All right. And finally, it is our culture, which is our social emotional learning, continuing implementation of that. Parental involvement, of course, we're always looking for ways to do that. Student enrichment and community outreach. So you can see here some of these things, our partnership with WINGS, after school program. We do implement SEL curriculum daily across the grade levels. Continuing to fund academic parent-teacher teams and the meetings. Community members to mentor students, that's one of the strategies. And then, of course, the STEM-based extracurricular activities we talked about already is an area where we're seeking to improve. Are there any other areas there that we need to look at?
I just had a quick question. What are we actually doing as far as the parent involvement to really get the parents knowing what's actually going on with the school? I mean, we already have a lot of limitations because of the COVID, but like, what are we actually doing to let the parents know? It's plenty of parents that have nonprofit businesses, some things that they can work with us with. How are we getting a list of actual parents that actual students attend the school that we can utilize some of that in-house resource?
That's a great idea. I haven't really thought of that, but that's a great idea, Ms. Vaughn. I had thought about reaching out to parents who are part of organizations that could do those things. So what is a way that could be a strategy that we put, but it's something for us to think about. What is a way we could get the word out? Hey, parents, we're looking for, you know, these parts.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what I mean, even to where it comes to the grant writing. You know, I have my own nonprofit and I stay connected in the community, but far as just, it's so much going on without a strategic and intentional push. You know, certain things just go over people's head, or they let it allow it to go over their head because they don't really see a usage or a real need. You know, sometimes as parents, it's the perception that we're not as useful as we could be if we are really thought of as a resource to the school community versus just we are the parents of the students, and see that parents can be a resource that extends outside of just the parent. A lot of parents have businesses and things that they really have time to do, but no one really reaches out for that, or it's not expected that the school is using the parents to facilitate in grants and actually can get paid to do certain things for the school. So I just think we should kind of look at that when we're talking about our strategic plan. Think of the ways to actually get the parents involved, you know, implementation-wise, you know, getting getting real usage out. So I don't know if we could come up with a newsletter or something that's just straight to the parents, or, you know, some kind of something that we could do.
So we do have a newsletter, but I don't know if we've reached out in that way. We kind of put out the student of the month. We put out things that are going on here, but I think we need to be very, like you said, I think it's a good idea for us to be very purposeful in reaching out and seeing what resources parents have that could benefit. I think that's an excellent idea.
Mr. Harvey, we spoke once before about doing a survey for the parents and capturing that. And I would be willing to work with Ms. Whitaker to see if we could get a survey that we had send out to parents to capture some of what Ms. Vaughn is talking about, because I think it's an excellent idea to find out how they can help, you know, what resources they have as well.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you so much for that input, Ms. Vaughn.
You're welcome.
All right, so those are the areas of our strategic plan. So where do you think we should go? Do you think this is still viable in terms of us utilizing this to guide us, along with those things that we've added that Ms. Brown has gotten in the minutes and we will put in here? We just got to change the font, and I'll do that on the back end, and we'll bring it back up when we start discussing the budget, or we'll show present this when we start working with the budget. But overall, do you think we're in the right direction in terms of what our goals are and the priorities and our strategies are for meeting our goals?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what I will do, I will add those things that we will go use the minutes to add those things that were just brought up for our strategies. And mostly what we talked about were more strategies that we can utilize to meet our overall goals. And of course, these are our goals overall. We want to increase the percentage of students scoring proficiency on the GMAS by 3 to 5% per year. And we want to increase Lexile scores, which is reading levels. And that goes with our priorities. And we had on here secure 3 grant opportunities to facilitate additional tutorial and STEM opportunities. Our culture rating, we want to secure a 4 or 5 star rating with our culture. And at least 80% of students are leaving second grade are reading at or above grade level. Now, this was before we started. That was a goal before we started, but it's still a goal we want to have. It's going to be a more difficult goal at this time, but if we keep the growth going, we can reach that goal, hopefully, in the next 3 to 5 years. Okay? And that is that. Okay. So we're going to move on in our agenda because I want to go ahead. We've got 4 more minutes. Our return to learn plan, well, we're back. We talked about... last week, we went to virtual learning, of course, and we do have a plan in place that we utilized last week. We put that plan together because we were always on our toes about a possible moving to virtual. At this time, we plan to be face-to-face, but if any school goes over 5%, a 5% threshold, of 5% of the occupants of the building being diagnosed as COVID positive, the district can at that point decide that they're going to close a school down for, you know, however long the health, our health department says is necessary. So that is some, so at any point we have to be ready to pivot to virtual learning like we did last week. Are there any questions about the virtual learning, our return, COVID? Because I know that's a big, you know, concern for lots of people. So at this time, any questions that you have, I will be able to answer those for you.
Are you going to share the number of students or staff who test positive with weekly testing, with biweekly testing this year?
So
not names, but just numbers.
Yes. So the district, what the district has asked, we have to submit all the numbers to the district on a weekly basis by Friday mornings. And they are going to be posting it at the website there. So you can go and to the district website. And I'm still sharing, I believe. And let me go to. Here's the COVID-19 status and public health data. And you can go here. And this is the week for January 1st through 7th. So you can see all of the numbers. So, for example, Heritage for the entire week, for last week, and this is not everybody that was diagnosed at Heritage, but some of them were self-reported. So we had some students that were positive last week or the week before, and their parents self-reported. So last week we had 9 positive cases. And the other is the test number of tests administered. So last week at Heritage, we had 97 tests administered, and 9 of them came out positive, or 9 people came out positive, not necessarily those who were tested at Heritage. We had 9 positive cases overall. And so you could go to every week. This is the 11th through the 17th. We had 1 case the week of the 11th through the 17th, and we had 3 quarantines. There were no quarantine school-based exposures. There were no exposures last week because there was no one here last week. So there's no column for exposures. But you can go to this spot every week, every Friday, Saturday. I know they have it up by Saturdays, and see the overall numbers for the week.
And are these numbers, how are these numbers recorded? Is it recorded like just based on the amount of students that have agreed to go through testing? Is there a ratio basis, the ones who haven't actually been tested? Because are the numbers, I don't want to say like valid, but you know, how so much merit do this. They have?
So let me say this. You are correct. We can only diagnose positives on those or negatives on those that we test. So we are this week doing a big push on consent. We're trying to get as many parents. So here it is on the website. You can go and do an electronic consent form. We put that out on Class Dojo. We put it out on Remind to parents. And starting tomorrow, we're going to be passing hard copies out as parents come in for parent pickup. And we're having a contest to see which classes can get 100% of students sign up for testing twice a week. So you are correct, Ms. Vaughn. It all depends on the number of consents for testing that you have. So let me go. I'm going to go to the week of December 11th through. And they didn't tell us on that one how many. They didn't tell us how many tests we have on that one, how many people tested. But the more we test, the more the better we are, the safer we are.
And what time are we doing this testing? Because as you know, Christian was quarantined by the school because he sat by somebody who tested. What are we doing to kind of get like earlier testing? Because the kid comes to school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then he get tested on Thursday, then he's active, but he been on the bus, in the cafeteria, everywhere. And yet we are acting as though I'm scanning your forehead when you first come. You ain't got no temperature. So again, we saying you don't have COVID. You get in here and you stay 4 days and then we test you on Thursday and you got COVID.
So there's some things that have changed. First, we are testing students twice a week now on Mondays and Thursdays, every 2 days. So students who are consent, they got tested this morning. Our testing time is Mondays and Thursdays, beginning at the beginning of the day. So they arrive at 7:30 and they are here until around 9 or 9:30 testing students. The second thing we're doing is we have a test to stay. So if your child has consent and they are a close contact to someone who tested positive, if your child tested that day and tested negative, they do not have to quarantine. And then they will test again on Thursday or the next day we test, and they have to keep that negative test. If they show up positive, of course, they will have to quarantine, but they don't have to quarantine if they are tested, even if they have a close contact. If they have tested and they are testing negative, they can stay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the best thing for what your concern is, we're testing twice a week now, Mondays and Thursdays, every 2 days that the students are here at school.
Okay. And that's the ones, again, with consent, correct?
Right. And so we're pushing to get as many with testing consent as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. So what and Ms. Vaughn, I'll stay on a little extra. If you have some extra questions, I want to kind of move everybody on so we can close the meeting out. But if you have any more concerns, I'll stay on a few minutes to answer any of your questions. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. That's all I have for our update. Are there any announcements that need to be made for the good of the group at this time? Okay. So if there are no announcements, I move that we adjourn today's meeting.
I second that motion.
All right. And so the meeting is now adjourned. Just a reminder before, I'm sorry, I forgot to say this. Just a reminder, once we get into budget season, we will probably be meeting more than once a month at that point. We'll have to meet on a needs basis as we build our budget, because when we get the budget, we will have a timeline of when we have to have our budget created, and I have to present it to the powers that be in order for it to be accepted. So we will be meeting, like I said, we have our regularly scheduled meeting the first Monday of February, but we might have to meet before then towards the end of January once I get the budget so that we can do our budget assessment or training and take the assessment and then work on our budget. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your service to our GO team. Okay. Ms. Vaughn, you got another question?
Yes. Okay. So my question was this. With the COVID,
express that idea, and we added that to what we're putting in the strategic plan, because that's an area of growth. So for anybody, this is not the official meeting. So anybody who needs to log off, you can go ahead and log off. You don't have to stay on. But